Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
What's up, everybody? I'm John DeLaurier, the new co-host for the Roofer Coach Podcast. That's right, the Roofer Show is having its 300th episode. Dave Sullivan has dramatically helped me grow my roofing business, and I'm super excited to help everyone as we go along this journey to create a more profitable roofing industry where you, as a business owner, can have more free time with your family. We're going to be offering more actionable tips on all the social media platforms, including YouTube. So join us along in this journey as we help the roofing industry be a better place to work, better place for families, and a more profitable business environment for everyone involved.
John, what is going on?
Dave, it's just another day in paradise.
You got it, man, as a roofing contractor. Well, here we are, episode number 299. Of the Roofer Show. It's been going a while, I'll tell you, man. That's consistency. I do one of these every week. So that's 299 weeks in a row. And hey, you've been on a number of these shows and you've really helped me out. We've collaborated on a number of things recently, and we've got a big announcement coming up because we've got episode number 300 and it's going to be big. So we're going to make a few changes with the Roofer Show, and we are going to provide just some awesome content that's really going to help roofing contractors. And we're going to actually do a little name change. We're going to rebrand. It's going to be called The Roofer Coach, because I've been coaching hundreds of contractors and really getting to see the patterns and what's working, what's not, what's really helping them get to the places they want to go to. I did this a while ago. I was a roofing contractor for 30 years before electricity. You know, I got to bring out some young blood, some new guys that are in there that have, you know, are doing it today, because I've been there and done it, but it was a while ago. Same principles still apply, but we talk constantly about a lot of the automations that are there, because it makes running a business so much easier, because we've got to build in those processes and systems to get this thing running so we're in control. We don't have to be tied to that business, putting out fires all day, wearing all the hats. So that's what this thing is all about. We've got some great shows ahead. John is going to be co-hosting with me. And I'm just excited about this. This is going to be great. And make sure that you are tuned in for episode number 300 next week, because it's going to be a great show. We got big announcements to make, some big changes. John, what do you think of this idea?
Dave, I'm super excited. This is kind of a crazy thing for me, because you really did help me go from basically a roofing startup, listening to your podcast. And I've mentioned this before, in the first week, one of my sales reps sent me a link to your podcast years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I listened to 17 episodes in 1 week. All I did was drive around to appointments and listen to Dave's voice all day. And so
that's a scary thought.
It is. What I realized really quickly is that I was doing everything wrong. And so throughout the years, and then becoming one of your coaching clients, you really have helped me grow. And so I'm super excited to be here to help other startups and then more established businesses grow and improve their business to become more profitable.
I like it and appreciate those kind words. You know, my wife tells me, you know, the only time she listens to the show is when she can't sleep at night, and that'll put you right out. So 17, I appreciate that, Ed. But yeah, we did really, I don't want to say we, but helped you build your business. And what the show today is called, the title is the Million Dollar Roofer. And this is how to hit your first $1 million and do it profitably and build a business of your dreams, because you can, but it's not easy. So we're here today to really lay out a framework to build a business, what it takes to build not only a $1 million business, but a profitable $1 million business. And we're going to get into that because that's what matters. And I call this a no scale zone, because all you do is hear about scaling your business. And I think so many of our listeners think that the norm is to do $20 million in business, in your roofing business, and that's the goal. Well, you know, there's less than 5% of businesses in the country that do ever achieve $1 million. And that's quite an achievement, particularly if you can make money. So what we're going to talk about today is how to build a strong foundation and get things in place where we're in control and we're prepared to grow the business from there. And this is where so many contractors miss the important point, which is building that business, a strong foundation, just as you would a house. It takes a strong foundation, and you start with that. And once we build that, we build in our systems, then we can grow. Because without that, it's tough. You do not grow a business to become profitable. You make profit so you can grow a business, and you need that profit. And you're going to hear us talk about profit all the way through this. It's boring. I'm the only guy that seems to ever talk about this. That's why I guess I just don't get the listeners. I'm just jealous, God damn it. That's it. But hey, John, you know, let's talk about the $1 million roofer. And this is just not for companies that are trying to do $1 million. This is really covers really who our ideal prospects are, our ideal customers, our ideal listeners. These are the people that we're speaking to directly. And we will talk about this, having your ideal customer defined, that avatar, that clarity. And really, we're working with contractors that are just getting started, really up to about $8 million in business and revenue. And the reason is, I've talked about this, because my business, back in the day, was $10 million in revenue, annual revenue, which would be, I don't know, probably $25 million today. And it's different. Once you hit that $8 million mark above, you really need somebody that's going to come into your business and work on the business, work with your people, work with your salespeople, your team. And that's what we had. And that's just not something that I want to do right now. So, John, what does a $1 million company look like? I mean, you broke through this a while back. What's the goal? Why would we want to get to that point?
Sure. Yeah. So $1 million is a fun number to say, and it's true. You know, the statistics are there that not many companies do get to that level. So just for clarification, I hit $1 million my third year in business, really small market in Athens, Georgia. And that was a fun thing to do. That's the first year we went only roofing. We were doing everything, you know, kitchen remodels, everything, and, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And then we decided to niche down to doing roofing. And that's when we actually started to be more efficient and to sell more. So what would happen was we would be selling more, but then we wouldn't be as profitable as we wanted to. So that's kind of where you helped me take, you know, just a couple different things to make me more profitable, to have more free time, basically. And it made a huge difference in my personal life, but then also the business too. I was able to reinvest that profit in there. So for me, a $1 million business from zero to a million looks like, a good six-figure salary, but then also having significant free time with your family. And so the one-page business plan that you have been talking about for years is really the foundation I think that everyone should go through. Something like that. It doesn't have to be Dave's, but I really like it because It is one page. It's not overwhelming. You can spend between 30 minutes and 2 hours and go through the whole thing, depending on how deep you want to get. And in that amount of time, you'll have a really clear picture of what you want for your business and what does $1 million business look like, because it's going to be different for everyone. Some people really want to go super high margin and low volume. Some people want to go higher volume and they like to be busy. But in the end, the why, you need to start there. You need to start at the end. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? It's really hard to be a business owner in general, especially in the roofing industry. So you need to start with a tool like that one-page business plan.
I agree with that. I developed this over the years because I always had a business plan. Our consultant came in and started doing that, and it made all the difference, just provided the clarity. We got a plan. And you can go download that on my website at theroofershow.com. That's soon to change. But you can get that download. It's a free download. And it'll really walk you through a lot of the things that we're talking about. But let's start off with a few of these that are because we've got to formulate a plan so we know what's going on. Otherwise, you know, as they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Doesn't matter. But we want to go to our destination in the shortest, most efficient way, the least painful way, because it can be really tough. And so hopefully you can avoid a lot of these pitfalls. But you know, it really starts with the end. We start at the end, that why are we doing this and where are we going? That's the first question I ask when I have our strategy calls is, what are you doing this for? You know, why? And as I say, the first thing that I do is spend usually the first 20 minutes trying to talk the contractor out of going into business for themselves because it is really hard. It's tough and they don't realize it. And I just drill down and make sure that it's somebody that really has the passion, the entrepreneurial spirit, and somebody that's dedicated to do it. And I say, okay, if you're in, I'm in. So let's get on it. And we start off with, you know, that destination. And that can be different for every business. If you're just starting off, you're a young person, you know, you got the energy, you got the drive, and you want to grow a business, great. Others want more of a lifestyle business. As you said, you were able to do both. You were able to create a business that was not only profitable, but allowed you to have the free time with your family. I mean, you got three young kids. You want to spend time with them. That was also my goal, my end, because I grew up in a small family roofing business, and my father, he was chained to the business, man. He just worked all the time. He's a great man, but he was just always working, and he wasn't able to do the things that he wanted to do, and maybe missed a lot of the kids growing up. I wanted to do it differently. I wanted to make sure that I had the time to watch my kids grow, be able to spend time at their games and so forth. I wanted to travel. That was really my thing. So I needed a business that did not rely on me being there all the time. That was my destination, but everybody's is different. Why are we doing this? And if you just say, I just want to make a bunch of money, I want to do this, I want to grow my business so I can puff my chest out and be the big guy in town, that's fine if that's what your goal is. But you really need to be clear, really know where you're going so we can get a direct path. You agree with that, right, John?
I do. So again, this kind of seems basic, but people don't actually take time to execute and to think about this. So I go back to listening to your podcast. A lot of people listen to podcasts, they read books, they go to conferences, and all that's great. But in reality, you have to actually execute and do the things you've been taught.
Oh, really?
So that's right. So
actually do it.
That's right. So, I mean, coming from, I was a terrible student in school, went to university, not a great student, did not see the from point A to point B, the reason why I was doing it. So the why is important for me. I had to establish that first. But then you go through the what, who, where, and why. You want to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing. you want to clearly understand what your company does well and where your best opportunities will be. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a really, really important thing to do. And it's, I mentioned before, in the beginning, we were doing additions, remodels, kitchens, everything. And that was not the best plan for the way that we are set up, our market size, all kinds of number of factors for my business. It wasn't the great thing. It's not how I'm wired as a business owner, and as a, and my biggest strengths and weaknesses were not aligning with that plan. So you need to know what you're doing. Are you going to do residential, commercial? Are you going to do, you know, new construction? Are you going to do replacements? You need to know that, and you need to stick with that plan. It can be very tempting to see the carrot, the shiny new thing, mm-hmm. and want to go to that because it's a job. It's, and Dave, I think we're going to make some shirts that says busy does not equal profit. I think we need to make it because that's what if anything, going through this is really helped me to understand that I don't like not to be busy every day and to have things going on. That's how it was. It was crazy. I was working crazy hours and I was making no money.
Right.
So I've gone to working less hours and being significantly more profitable. So that's the what. So who is the, who's your ideal customer? We hear that a lot. You need to really focus in, and it's going to be hard if you're just starting out, but you need to at least try to come up with that avatar, that ideal customer that you're mm-hmm. looking to work with. For us, I'll give you an example, in the Athens area, there's a lot of people that are nearing retirement age or retired. They want to come stay in a low cost of living area that has a lot of amenities. They probably have a house that's between $300,000 and $800,000, maybe $1 million house. And they are, but they're that age group. They want the job done well. They're not looking to move anytime soon. That was our ideal customer there. So that's the who. Now, also the where is important. The where is something that I recently learned I needed to change. And so I moved my whole family to another market. So now we're in two markets in Georgia. You need to make sure you know where you're focusing to find that ideal customer. We may have heard them in books, seen them in conferences, podcasts, all those things. Really go through this and actually write it down. And I'll say over time, this has actually changed. I've done this business plan multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone to do it at least once a year. That way you'll have a better understanding of where your business was the previous year and where it's going in the upcoming year.
That's why I quote Mike Tyson, you know, the boxer, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Okay. Right. You've got to be able to adapt and change that plan. But you start off with that plan. I think you're exactly right. Tell you really when we get into it, that's the first thing that I ask is, hey, what's your business? What do you really do? And existing companies, they'll be doing, you know, roofing, residential, commercial. They'll be doing siding, sometimes windows. And I had a contractor the other day was doing window installation. I go, really? Okay. Well, how does that fit in to really what it is that we're doing? It's a little outside there. I go, well, you know, are you making any money? Well, no, we really don't make any money. We can't find subs to do the work. So forth. I go, well, how much your business is with windows? Well, it's about, you know, 10%, 15%. Well, how much time are you spending on that? How much of your time goes to it? Well, I spend about 30% of my day, you know, my time, because customers are upset. We're screwing it up. We're not doing it very well. I go, why are you doing that? Well, people have asked us to do that because they're, you know, we get asked to do that. I said, well, if you're not making any money, you shouldn't be doing it. It's like, well, what if people ask you to do swimming pools? You know, no, we don't do it. And I really believe in focusing down on what you do well, become an expert in that really one area, start with that, become the best in town, whether it's gutter installation, everybody knows you as, you know, they have gutters, they're going to call you. And that, I think, is the way to go. Well, I know that's the way to go because it's the most profitable. The riches are in the niches. I got all these little sayings, right? But it really is true where if you niche down, there's plenty of work out there. You know, it's just becoming the expert and try. And as you said, you know, you're the jack of all trades and master of none. And that's really what it is. You're just not good at it. My situation, you know, this is really where I first hooked up with my coach for the first time. That was one of the first questions he asked me. What are you guys doing? I said, well, we do residential. We do commercial work. He says, well, where do you make your money? You go, well, what do you mean? We do roofing. He says, no, well, let's break out this residential, break out the commercial into separate profit centers, separate divisions. And let's look at that. And when we got down to it, we broke it down. Not only was the commercial more profitable, but when we looked at the overhead associated with that type of work, the residential was taking all our time. We had complaints. We had callbacks. We just weren't very good at it. So when we phased that out and went 100% in commercial, our business just took off. And that is what I think you got to start with. Don't try to be everything. And this is, most businesses do too many lines. You know, they're trying to do all these things and a lot of it just doesn't fit. And that's exactly what I think you're saying.
That's right. Make sure that once you get to that stage too, that you're also understanding what your unique selling proposition is too. You, like, if you know that there are other people that are doing, in our case, they're mainly doing, those are our ideal customer, I just described it, but what our services mainly are residential re-roofs, mainly shingles and probably 20% metal. Well, you need to, there's other people doing the same thing. So you need to make sure that you have something that other people don't have. And there's a list of things. You need to figure that out for yourself, right, based on where you are, what your strengths are. Focus on the strengths. Don't try to do everything. Just focus on what you're really, really good at. And then that's how you market and sell what your services are.
I use the example that I actually had my roof done here this last summer. And I don't know anybody in the residential business. So my wife gets, three or four estimates. Well, they come in and we just kind of put them in a stack. And, you know, then I pulled them out to take a look at it. I couldn't tell the difference. Everybody was kind of the same price, but they all looked the same. So if that's the case, these guys were commodities, as far as I knew. You know, what's the difference? And I'm in the business. So you look at these homeowners, if they can't see the difference between you and your competition, you're a commodity and they're just going to go on price. And this business is about getting a higher price, getting what you're worth, showing the value that you provide and why you're worth the better price. And you're the obvious choice because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, it's just all about price. No, it's not. Most people don't just buy on price. Price is on the, you know, up there, but that's not what it is. And you have to show them the difference of why a roof is just not a roof. What you're providing is a great customer experience. This is what I want to show our prospects because that's what it's about. If you look at, just go to Google reviews, show them, you know, here's the one and two star reviews. What are the problems? It's always some kind of communication issue. They didn't show up when they said they were going to. They didn't answer the phone when they said they were going to. We couldn't get hold of them. You know, they, you know, all of these things, as opposed to those five-star reviews that we get, it's just talking about what a great customer experience. It was a pleasure working with them. They showed up when they said they would. I could always get hold of them if I had questions. They didn't leave a mess. That's always a big one. And that's what customers, prospects want to hear about. And that's what separates us. And that's important. We have to show them the difference because otherwise, they don't really think about it. I know you've got a great some great questions that you ask your customers to really improve your sales.
It's true. So again, talking about listening to the podcast and actually implementing it, Ruby receptionist or just any receptionist service that will answer your phone. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that even when you're starting out, you're probably the first thing you want to invest in is someone to always answer your phone. Now, granted, you know, for a long time, I answered my own phone very quickly, though. Mm-hmm. I probably should have hired Ruby a long time before I did. Is you want to make sure that every single customer sees that professional response. And so, and then Ruby's great because when those receptionists are answering the phone, they're asking all the questions that I've given them.
Right.
And so either if a customer finds me on our website or they call in to the phone number, the same questions are getting asked. So obviously the general information is super important. If people are not willing to go past that first name, last name, phone number, email, they're probably not going to be a customer anyway. So we want to filter that out already. That seems like a minor point, but it's a big deal whenever a lot of people are just tire kickers. So
yeah, the pre-qualification.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So then you want to ask things that are relevant to you. So tell me about your roof. How old is it? Are you looking for, what type of roof are you looking for? And then in general, you want to get an idea of when they're ready to replace their roof.
Mm-hmm.
All these types of questions are really important to pre-qualify before you even take the time and energy and effort to go out and give
them that. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about, I was just so busy, you know, I don't have time. So you end up, you know, emailing these quotes, and which is what I said in my experience. I got these things in the email. I never heard back from them. There was no follow-up. You know, if you don't have time to do that, you're not going to close the deal. And this is why pre-qualification is so critical, because you want to know if these people can afford your service. Are they in the right area where you focus your work? Is it the right type of work that you do? And without that, you're going to waste a bunch of time, as you say, with all these tire kickers and so forth, and you don't have the time to spend with buyers and asking the questions. That's what it's all about. What are they looking for? Stop talking about yourself and how great your business is, because they don't care. Nobody cares about you. Sorry. But it's all about them. They want to know what you're going to do for them. And the only way you can find that out is by asking good open-ended questions and then shut up and listen. Zip it. Listen to the answer. They will give you a roadmap of how to sell, what's important to them. But there's a big difference in somebody that's going to flip their house, sell it next week, and they don't care. They're just looking to make the most profit out of it, as opposed to somebody that says, hey, they're going to carry me out of this house in a box. So what you're saying is that you want the best roof that you can get, and quality and longevity really matters.
That's right. So I will say the most important question that we have on our list, and we'll provide all of this in our coaching, and mm-hmm. you'll get all of these resources to actually implement into your business. The most important question that I have that Ruby asked, and it's in all of our forms to pre-qualify, is what's important to you when choosing a roofing company? And so there's two options. They can't choose both. It's great quality or lowest price. And so it's a really easy pre-qualifier. And not to say that people that click lowest price are not impressed with our process, our communication, our sumo quote proposal, all those other things that do help. We have sold jobs that they're interested in lowest price because we have not been the lowest price, but we showed the value, the unique selling proposition. We showed that. But that question of really differentiates, you know, the ideal customer right away versus someone who's just looking for the lowest bid. Just like what you said, are they selling their house right now, or are they going to, you know, be buried there? So it's a really important thing to do that pre-qualification process before you even start working with somebody.
Mm-hmm. You walk around the house with them. You see what's important. You know, they've got all these beautiful rose bushes. Oh, God, I love your garden here. Oh, well, these are my, you know, prize rose bushes and so forth. Well, that's obviously important to them. So why don't you spend a little time and talking about, well, you know, this is what we do that's different from other contractors, how we protect your property. And maybe we're using a catch-all system, or we're going to spend, you know, whatever it is. You're telling them that you understand, you heard what they said, you heard what's important. And so this is what you've got to understand going in. This is before we even get started. We're filling out this plan. We're understanding how we're going to do this. How are we going to build this company and take it from, let's say, zero to a million? So, John, if we're going to do that, what is it going to take? Here we are starting off, because I've got a number, you know, just recently seems to be, got about a half dozen of contractors that are just starting up. They're just getting going. Maybe they are in business for a year or so forth, but they obviously didn't hear this program. And they're starting off and they're struggling, and it's no fun because, one, they're not making any money. They're losing money, generally. They're working their ass off. I mean, they're working weekends and so forth. Now, you know, there's trouble at home. And, you know, you just didn't sign up for this. So before we get started, we've got to have certain tools. Tell me what it takes to get ready to get into business. What's the cost that we've got to be prepared for?
Sure. So I'd say back up just a second before we get into the tools is, let's talk about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So again, it's in the business plan. Go through those things. They're pretty self-explanatory, but you really need to know your own personal, as a business owner, you need to know what your personality type is. Take a personality test, something like a DISC assessment, so that you're able to start with that strength, know your weaknesses, and then know your opportunities and know your threats. You need to start there. So start with that base, and then you'll be able to basically create a tool box that will meet your best strengths and not focus on your weaknesses. So you need to have, let's just start this. Adam Sand, roofing business partner, jokes about this all the time. If you don't have a email address with your URL, your website URL, if it's at gmail.com, at Hotmail, at AOL, you need to start there. It's 2022 now, about to be 2023. You need to have an actual email address with your business name.
Yes.
Think about that. Like, I wish I had taken a lot more time thinking about my brand, my logo, the name of my business, all those things. Take time doing that. Then once you have that website, buy the URL.
Yes. It's
super affordable. Talking about $12 a year, $20 a year to have a URL. Make sure it's I can't stress this enough.
Yep.
Easily recognizable, easily spellable. You want to make your search engine optimization, your SEO, very easy from the beginning, just by the name of your business.
Let me jump in there real quick, because I just had a call today with a client and we went through this, and he wants to go with the domain name. It was just really long and they were letters and this. I said, well, I don't really understand that. So you've got to have something that people can remember somewhat, that makes sense, that becomes part of your brand. It is important. And, you know, it's tough getting domain names because, you know, I mean, they're most of them are all gone, but you've got to have something and a strategy that all ties together. And exactly as you say, start with that from the beginning. Is what is this brand going to look like? You know, the colors and the logo. Don't spend a lot of money on a branding guy and so forth, but you've got to have those basics. And it's just a matter of, okay, how are people going to remember you? They're going to see your wrapped vans going down the street. Is that something that they're going to remember by seeing that quickly. So anyway, very important. How to, you know, we're really getting into this with this client today, and we're going to have to make some changes. We're going to have to do some, you know, some backpedaling, and we don't want to have to do that. But website, you mentioned that. I think it's critical. I don't know what you think. I say don't spend a lot of money designing a website. You don't really need that. Even a landing page almost to get started. Sure. But having that presence, getting that history on that domain where Google is going to eventually, you know who you are and recommend people to you. So
that's right.
Tell us more about that. You know, you'd mentioned SEO. What is that? And how should we design our website, our basic website, just to get started?
Yeah. So if you are a startup business and you are looking to do anything with business at all, you need to start with the website. So the website will translate to the email address because you'll have the same URL. All those same things are true. The most important thing that you do is have a really good platform like WordPress. Don't do a Wix or any of those other free platforms. You want Google to see time on the internet. The length of time that it takes is one of the biggest strengths that you can have from anybody on the internet finding you. So if you wait to get your website 6 months, a year later, that's time that you could have had owning that domain with a web page, just like a one-page website, nothing fancy. Spend a few $100. You can have anyone design that for very affordable, but you definitely want to have that. You want to have just your basic information. Let them know you have a physical address. Getting into that next level for Google. So again, we are roofers of the future. We are not, you cannot rely on the yellow pages. You may not even know what that is, but you can't rely on all the old ways to be found and to grow your business. So again, this foundation is super important. So you have your website, you have your email address. That's all great. You need a physical location where Google can identify you are a real business. So you can do things as simple as renting a few couple hundred dollar a month office space that's just a closet, but it has a physical address.
Right, right. Do not spend a lot of money renting a place. Do not spend money on rent, but I agree with you. I mean, you do need a place of business. A P.O. box doesn't cut it anymore.
It won't. It will not work. You can't do UPS boxes. You can't do anything, any virtual addresses. There's a lot of businesses out there for that. It has to be a physical location where Google sends a postcard. They give you a code. You verify that location. Super important. Google's really cracking down and will suspend your business. We were suspended earlier this year for random, no reason. So you have to play by Google's rules so that you stay visible to the public.
Very carefully. Mm-hmm. And I just want to mention that these are the things that we're going to be talking about on upcoming episodes. And we're going to get deep into these. So one of the topics we'll spend, you know, an hour talking about this is how to build that website, what SEO is, the basics of what you should be doing. It's not complicated. The things that we're going to talk about are the simple, easy things. It's the simple, you know, blocking and tackling that it takes to win games, that it takes to build a business. And we don't want to get off in the weeds and, you know, hire some SEO company that's going to screw us over like most guys do. You know, you don't need to do that, but you do have to have a presence, and there's some basics. You got to have that solid GMB page, and you start building that foundation. And that's what we're going to get into. We're going to go deep on a lot of these things over the weeks ahead, and really going to teach you step by step. And we're going to leave you with a cheat sheet each week. And we're going to give you something that you can implement because, you know, you mentioned the seminars and so forth. I've got a whole stack of seminar books over there, you know, that, you know, gathering dust as we all do. And, you know, we're always looking for that silver bullet, like it's out there, you know, we go to these things. And as you say, we never implement none of this stuff matters if you're not going to implement. That's the only thing that matters. You mentioned Adam Sand. I like that. You know, that guy implements, you know, for, you know, that's what he does. And it's great. So anyway, weeks ahead, it's going to be awesome, man. We got a lot to offer, and we're really going to show you step by step how to build out this company to be profitable. And that's startup, really. We're going to take, you know, up to $8 million. So anyway, did it again. Sorry.
No, I'm excited, Dave. I'm excited to help in the future, and really looking forward to continuing to work with you, and excited about the Roofer Coach and what we're going to be doing to help contractors.
Well, I love it because you're doing it. I mean, you went through that barrier and built that out, and you made some mistakes, and it's clear in your mind as opposed to my foggy mind. I don't know what it was about, but the idea of all of this, everybody, you know, is that, you know, I've been there and done it, did it. The principles apply. It's business. You are running a business. I don't care if you're selling shoes or selling roofs. You are running a business, and this is what is so important. You have to build this out. And, you know, we both did it. John's doing it. And that's what I like. That's what this show has been all about. And we're going to kind of tweak that down even more. And that's why we're doing this. It's why we're going into the Roofer Coach. You're going to get free coaching every week on the podcast. So I love it. What else do you want to add in there? I've got a few things that I want to cover here. But we talked about, you know, getting this thing going. We're going to need. Here's the one thing that we need is cash. Okay. We need to have cash to get started with our business, because there's certain things that we need to buy. We got the website, you know, hosting that, getting that up. You know, we need equipment. We had this conversation today. We had a contractor that we both were on a call with, and he's been in a service end of the business, and now he wants to get into re-roofing. So I'm not sure that he does after talking with us, but, you know, what was involved with getting started in basically a new business, and what we brought up were things that he didn't really think about, and the headaches that we have. And that's really what I like to talk about, is how to avoid the screw-ups. If you can just screw up less, you can run a profitable business. What did you get out of that conversation today?
Oh yeah. It's definitely eye-opening for me to see, and exactly what you said. Like, I've seen a lot of the mistakes that I've done, and I want to help people like him not make those mistakes, or at least think them through really, really carefully before they move forward. Because we often see, okay, here's an opportunity. Let's do this. Just kind of going back to the business plan. Make sure you're crystal clear on your opportunity and stay in that lane until you're ready to maybe add a service. But in general, niching down is going to be better, because it just talking to him was daunting for me to hear, to know the way, the amount of money that he's going to have to spend just to get his first roofing replacement job. It was a big number and a big commitment and a big time suck too. Like, there's a lot of time just to go in just to build that part of his business. So
I like the conversation about how many driveways we've had to go repair for big money because we did not take the photos of all the cracks in the driveway before we brought in our dumpsters and so forth. And, you know, at after the fact, you try to explain it. No, that was there. It's not going to cut it, which is why we use company cam. Yep. We take photos, we step by step, and that's our process. And we do it every time before we start a job. And those are the kind of things that can just save us headaches. And that's what I like when you, I think you really opened his eyes up when you were talking about that there's just risk. And every time you get out there, every time you drive a truck down the highway, there is risk, and we're trying to reduce our risk. And this really gets into the idea of growing your business. You know, everybody wants to be a big company. Well, every time you do, you know, as you grow, you increase your risk. And this business is really about reducing risk, because if we can do less work and make more money, which we can do if we're focused and we're niched, as opposed to doing, you know, $10 million and making the same amount that we were making at a million. What the hell are we doing that for? Right. So,
and that's not an exaggeration, Dave. Like, it's not. I've been in plenty of high level meetings where the owners are making the same money that I'm making, and they're doing three times the work. It's happened. I've seen it a bunch of times. They're sharing their numbers. I'm sharing my numbers. They're like, how are you doing that? I'll just explain the same principles that we're talking about right now.
Right.
Apply to everyone. Start with the profitability. Make sure the customer has an excellent experience, and that's how you grow. Don't do it the other way around. Don't just start slinging roofs around. You know, focus on the profitability and the customer, and then you can grow that way.
I'm going to jump into this. How's our time? Am I?
I have no idea.
I've been rambling. Oh, well, okay. Then I'm going to jump into this because it is important. We're going to really get, you know, this is going to be covered over probably a couple of weeks. But when it comes to, we're talking about pricing, costs of doing business, understanding what we need to charge. The number one reason contractors go out of business, they do not charge enough money for their work. And most of them don't realize it, but the more work they're doing, the faster they're going out of business because their pricing is not right. So getting that pricing, what you should charge, is critical. I mean, well, it's everything. And how do you come up with your pricing? Now, I thought you had some great ideas that we were talking about in that conversation today about how do you start off? How do you know where the market is and how to at least, you know, you've got to know what the work is going for. So this is the reality. What did you say on about that? Trying to get where the market is.
So I did a little bit of this from adding locations for our business, moving from Athens to Savannah, adding that location. I did some market research for a long time, actually. The thing that I was mentioning today is being a secret shopper. So basically getting someone to get 3 to 5 quotes from different very popular, very well-known roofing companies. Don't get the people that you see just the side of the truck. You want somebody with a great reputation. You want people that you would want to compete with. You're going to get those proposals and you want to see what the market is allowing. That way you can reverse engineer what is it, what makes sense for your business and for what for you. So because you may have an idea in mind and it may be way off, maybe too far under, maybe too far over. You want to be right there. And in general, we've always tried to be one of the highest priced roofing companies because that's how it's worked out. It's not that we're trying to be the highest. Is that we recognize overhead, workers' comp, general liability, all the risks that involved in doing each roof. That's where we've ended up. Somewhere between the upper middle to the highest price roofing company is where we've always been. And it's always made sense for us. And you really want to start with that part. You want to know what the market is actually paying, and you want to focus on those proposals, the way they're the appearance, the sales reps, everything, the branding of those other companies. What is the market wanting? Do they want wrap trucks? Do they want billboards? Do they not care about that? You need to know all those things before you even start this whole process. That's a really wise, it takes a lot of time, but it's a wise way to actually start this process of how to price something. Don't just say, well, I heard that they charge X a square. That's not a great way to do it.
What, roofers are liars? Get out.
Yeah. So you want to know. And then, so we're not going to focus on the top line revenue. We're going to be focusing on the profitability of things. So then you want to get with your suppliers. You want to make sure, hey, how much does the material actually cost? you don't want to just guess, hey, I think that they charge X a square roughly. You want to get it down to the dollar. Really, you really do. Because if you don't do this front end work, you're going to be spending a lot of time, effort, energy, and money doing all the other things, website, all those other things. And then by the time you start selling roofs, you'll either not sell roofs because you're too high, you'll sell a ton of roofs because they're way too low and you won't be profitable and you'll go out of business. Or you'll just be super frustrated because you won't understand why you're winning some and losing some, because you don't understand your own market. You need to really do that work on the front end. Any other industry does the same thing. If a franchise comes into a market, if a Chick-fil-A comes in, they're going to do traffic studies. They're going to know how many people are driving down that road every single day. You need to do the same thing. Take this seriously about your business. This is not just throw a ladder in the back of your truck and then go sell a roof. Doesn't work that way. If you want to build a long-term profitable business that works for you, this is the way you start it.
I love it. I agree. As you say, you know what, you're running a business, and that's what you really have to understand. And those, whether it's a Chick-fil-A or whatever, we're using the same tactics to build this business out. And we have to know this. I like what you said about the reverse engineering of this job. So, and that's when it comes to knowing our costs. I'm going to get into this in a minute, but we can take it from top down or bottom up. So if we know where the pricing is, here's the market. And we can take a job, say, okay, well, we know because of our secret shoppers, we know that the market is at X, and we can reverse engineer. And what we mean by that is, okay, we know how much material this is going to take because we can do the takeoff of an Eagle View, and we know what's there, what it's going to cost for material. We better know how we're going to do it, and whether it's a sub or whether it's your own people, what that cost is. Now we've got the price. Basically, here's what our cost is. If we take our price less the costs, we're going to have our gross profit left over. And that gross profit, that's the key number. The key margin is the percentage of that gross profit. And that's what's going to cover our overhead. And that's what's going to give us our net profit, including your owner's compensation. And when we talk about successful companies, how to run a business, if you're running $1 million business, we want to see, you know, and this is just a real general rule of thumb, is that owner's compensation should be around 10%, $100,000, let's say, at least. If you're not making $100,000 doing this, man, you're running a million dollar business, you're in the wrong business. Okay. But we've got the owner's compensation, and that has to be some kind of a weekly regular, whether it's a paycheck, however you're set up, and this is up to your tax, your tax professional, but you want to be taking a regular salary that's baked into the cost of that job, not just when there's some cash in the bank and saying, oh, hey, there's some money there, I'm going to take that out. No, that's not running a business. That's a job. Okay. So if you want a job, you might as well stop listening right now, because we're talking about building a business, not a job just out there banging on shingles. Now we've taken our 10% out, and that's our overhead cost. That's what it costs if you were to go out and have to replace yourself and have someone run this $1 million business for you. That's the owner's compensation. Now, after that, we pay all our expenses and we've got a net profit. And that net profit, roughly, we want to have a good 10% net profit. And that's another $100,000. So you've taken $100,000 in compensation, 10%. And we've got another $100,000 to reinvest into the business. And we need that return, because that's how we're going to get the best marketing. That's how we're going to grow our business. And you need to have a good marketing budget. You need to have money to do that. You have to have money, you have to have profit to hire the best people, to be able to pay them well. And if you're not doing that and you're trying to go on the cheap, you're going to be stuck in the mud like so many contractors that are just not getting anywhere. They're doing the same thing. They can't get out of that rut. And that's what so many of the contractors that come to me for coaching are just stuck in that rut, and they're not making any money, primarily because they're not charging enough money. And what I tell most contractors to do, and everybody that's listening to this, tomorrow, go raise your prices by 5%, period. Okay. It's not going to make a difference in jobs that you're going to sell or not, but that's going to get you started, because we're going to have to get those prices up. And I know that 90% of you at least are not charging enough money. You think you are, oh, I can't charge that. Well, you've got to, because that's the cost of doing business, and you better learn to sell. And I want to get into this really about how to set our business up. But I just want to point out one thing, is that you ran this business by yourself, $1 million, still are for the most part. You're able to sell that work. And this is what I think is so important. You have to understand how to keep your costs down. Particularly now, we're coming into slower times. This is, becomes more important than ever. You've got to have a very, very low overhead and have control over that. And the other thing that I think is just critical is that as the owner, you're the one that's getting out there selling. And if you don't like selling, you're in the wrong business again, okay? You should be the sales guy. And that's what so many companies, before they hit $1 million, they go out and hire a salesperson. I think that's crazy, because not only do you have to get out and sell, not only can you not afford to have somebody selling for you and paying them, but it's so important for you to understand and develop that sales process. And unless you understand what that means, how to sell, what works, what doesn't, you're never going to be able to bring on another salesman and show them, here's the system, the process that we use, and be able to plug those guys in and expect them to sell. John, I know you've got something to add into this, but you run a kick-ass business, always have. You understand how to keep your costs down and run it the way it should be. What say you?
I feel personally attacked, Dave, because you just mentioned all of my mistakes. I have not always run a perfect business, or even a perfect business by now. I'd say,
what have you learned?
So many things, so many mistakes, so many tens of thousands of dollars mistakes. So, go back to the DISC assessment. Do a DISC assessment on yourself. If I take mine, I've taken it a couple times. I'm not a salesperson. I've met no one growing up. No one say you're a salesperson, but I had to learn to sell. Just like you said, you have to learn to sell. You have to learn the principles. And what helped me sell, based on my personality type, was knowing my numbers, so that I had the confidence to understand, okay, this is what it costs. $20,000 is not a lot of money, because this is what this costs. And this, if you know what your business costs, it's, you understand, you're not worried or insecure about telling somebody or showing somebody $20,000 proposal. So, I'd say all that, start with yourself first, find your strengths, but you're exactly right. You have to sell by yourself for probably the first million. If you think you're going to project way faster from a storm or something like that, maybe hire somebody, but you really, really need to know how to sell your services to the homeowner if you're in the residential space. And you can't skip that step. You can't. There's very few cases where I'm like, that makes sense. That it generally doesn't make sense.
And here's the part that so many guys miss, is that you're going to bring this guy on, 90% chance you're hiring the wrong guy. Because everybody does, and they're going to quit. And after you've invested all this time, but you have to realize that now 50% of your time that you should have been out there selling is now sucked off to try to train this guy,
right,
to try to get him to do what you want him to do. and that he's running wild because you don't know how to manage him. And that's where things really go to hell, you know?
They do. So Martin Pettigrew of Monarch Roofing, $42 million company, went to one of his executive camps, famously said he did 100 interviews to hire one person.
Yeah.
So you're wrong about 90%. It's 99% of the time you're going to hire the wrong person. Mm-hmm. So we just don't have the training staff. You don't have the time. It doesn't even make sense financially, whether they're 100% commission. Well, they're 100% commission. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And they're a pain in the ass, man. Sales guys, you know,
they don't have your
drive you nuts.
Yeah. Even if, I mean, there's so many reasons not to do it. It's just, you're not to that point yet to $1 million to take that step for most people. Mm-hmm. So I'd say know what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then once you get to $1 million and you know you're very profitable at the right margins, then whatever your DISC assessment says, hey, what's your weakness based on the business plan? Hire that person. Right. Hire that person next. If it's a salesperson, hire that person. If it's a production person, hire that person. But use data to take your next step, not emotion. I'd say that.
What do you think an owner would be capable of selling? Because it can certainly go past $1 million, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I forgot the numbers for Eric Reno. I think he's around 2 million and he has a couple other salesmen, maybe three, but that's a really specified market. He's doing super high end stuff. And they're, you know, they have a very good business, very well laid out process, been in business for a long time. An owner, he still likes to sell. So he sells, I'm pretty sure, at least 2 million a year. Mm-hmm. And then his other sales, but your sales guys need to be, I mean, they have got to be producing. I think in today's dollars, some people said $500,000. I think it's more like 800,000 mm-hmm. is a minimum a salesperson. If you interview somebody and they're like, you just don't think they're going to do that 800 to a million, then they're not a good fit. They need to be really hungry to do that. Cause salespeople, whether you have them a totally subcontractor, which is a whole nother tax situation, or you rightfully should have them W-2 probably. They're going to be really, really expensive. That labor burden is much higher than you think it is. You talk about labor burden a lot on the podcast in the past. It's a real thing. Payroll tax is real. It's a really, really painful thing to understand. And you need to make sure that those salespeople are very profitable for your company.
Because this 1099 business where, you know, you say, well, it's a 1099 because, you know, I don't have to pay all that. You know, that's a crock because I'm telling you, most of these guys, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, they're W-2 employees. And if you're not paying payroll taxes on them and you get audited, which we have a number of times, and it's not fun, you know, it's just something that so many contractors miss. The cost of having an employee, these guys are employees. It doesn't matter what you're classifying them as. It's the tests that they will come in and make you take. Anyway. But yeah, you're right that the cost is so high. I want to jump into really what you and I both think is the key to running a business. And this is our three-legged stool. Okay. This is what business is all about. Really, we talked about this, that, you know, this should be our logo, the three-legged stool.
Because it's going to be our logo.
It's got to be, because this is what business is. You have to sell work. You have to do work, and you've got to keep score. And those three legs all have to be solid and strong. And what tends to happen in most companies, one of those legs is weak, and your stool or your business is going to tip over. Now, what the example would be, okay, well, it was that everybody had so many, you know, we had sales, but we didn't have the people to do the work. So we're selling all this work. We've got this huge backlog, but not only could we not get it done, but we're throwing B and C players out there to try to get the work done any way we can. And we're losing money on the jobs that we're selling. It's crazy. You would have been much better off by cutting those sales in half, focusing on the most profitable, being in control, and not having all this slippage or leakage in your profits when you're doing the job. Now, I think what we might see is sales are going to start slowing down. So maybe we've got all these guys sitting on the bench ready to go, but we don't have the sales, we don't have the work, and that sales leg gets weak. But generally, what I see most all of the time is the scorekeeping leg is weak. And what that is our bookkeeping, our accounting. And you see this when, particularly when business is booming, man, you're selling work, you're doing work, but the scorekeepers, the accounting department, the bookkeepers, they can't keep up. They can't get the bills out. And so now you're running out of cash because you haven't kept on top of that. You haven't gotten your billings out. Next thing you know, you're 60, 90 days out and you're not getting paid. And that's the bookkeeping, the scorekeeping. What's the score? What's your financial position? What does it cost to do business? You have to have financial statements. You have to understand that. And you have to job cost your jobs. And nobody likes to hear about it, but there's a simple way. We just had a podcast on it last week, as a matter of fact, about bookkeeping, setting up your numbers, setting up your financials, and how to do job costing, where it's simple because you estimate, bid a job one way with this much labor and materials, then what was the actual? What did we actually do? What did it cost us? And what's the variance? Where did we screw up? Where did we do things right? Because if we don't know that we're short on our materials on every job, we don't know that until it's too late. We just go out of business. This is why all these things are important. And keeping that stool in balance is everything. And we look at each one of these, and that's what we're going to get into. How do you sell work? Well, to sell work, you've got to have a good lead flow. How do you get a good lead flow? Well, we've got to talk about that. That's a whole nother topic. How do we get more leads? That's the oxygen of our business. Without leads, you can't sell anything, and nothing happens until somebody sells something. But we've got to be able to install it properly. I mean, profitably. And we've got to get the bills out and we got to know if it was profitable. We're just, guessing. That's no way to run a business. John, what do you have to add on the three-legged stool, our favorite topic?
Yeah. So it's, there's a lot of other models that say there's five legs and things like that. And this, some of that's getting into the weeds a little bit, but what I have seen and what I agree with for myself, again, going back to being a bad student, wasn't a great student in school. The numbers game has always been the thing I've focused on because I'm bad at it. If you know your numbers, again, it translates to sales. If you know your numbers, you're confident about giving somebody price.
Right.
If you know your numbers, you know that, okay, this job is like just a very simple tool that we're going to give is a pre-job and a post-job report. You don't have to have a CRM. You don't have to have anything. All you have is a free Google sheet. And we'll set it up super easy so that you think you're doing everything right with pricing a job. And then you actually input numbers before us. Okay, this is how much material, this is how much labor, if it's sales, if it's production, whatever direct costs are. And then after the job's done, we needed to pay the guys more and we needed to buy more material. And we ruined a landscape light and we cracked the driveway. Okay, well, that made no money. There's no profit in that one. So you can't say, okay, well, I sold this $25,000 roof and there's no profit because you had to spend all the money. Like that, this is a super simple tool. It's very, very important to do on every single job from day one. And it's if you could do anything that would be the number one thing to do with, as it relates to that leg in the stool. Now, selling work is, there's all kinds of courses on sales. We're not here to do a sales training specifically. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks of what I do in my business and what Dave has done in his business. But selling work, if you're not selling at least at a 25% close, that's one out of four, something's majorly wrong with your business. So we can help you make sure that never happens. You need to be roughly closing one out of three in general, but you want to get to a little bit higher than that. And then doing work, you need to make sure that you're managing jobs with communication. So you may be a great salesperson, communicate super well, able to sell, but then once that contract's signed, everything falls apart. Right. And you need to make sure that you're doing work really well, both communicating with your dumpster, your supply house, your subcontractors or employees, and the homeowner, making sure all those people are being communicated with the whole time. That way you're going to get that 5-star review at the end.
That's what it's all about, that customer experience. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's how you're going to grow your business. That's how, what's so important with your SEO and why it matters is getting those satisfied customers. They're going to go out and refer you to their friends and family. And these are referrals. People buy now. They will never, ever, ever buy from you without going to your website and without checking your testimonials and reviews, period. They're all going to look at that.
Even if you get a referral, don't say, no, Dave, I get referrals. No. Every referral I've ever had has said, hey, so-and-so refer me, your neighbor, whatever. It doesn't matter. They said they refer me, but I actually did check out your reviews. They're great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every one of them, every single time. They never just accept it from one person. That's not how the world works now. Yeah. It is reviews. So I said this before earlier today, Dave, but you want to have profitable jobs, but you want to have 5-star reviews too. You want to maintain the profit, but you want to continue to get more work that gets more profit. Those are the two biggest pillars that we can talk about for it. That's how you know your company is actually successful. Profitability, 5-star reviews.
That's exactly right. And that's that foundation. And this is what we're talking about. So if you've heard what we're saying is that we're going to show you it's not easy. It's really freaking hard. Okay. But if you're willing to put in the work, that goes back to where I try to talk guys out of going into business. But if you're serious about business and running a business, that's what's important. I never knew that much about roofing, frankly. Okay. You know, when it came to products and so forth, but I knew how to run a damn business. And that's what's important. That's what our goal is, to teach you how to run a solid business. And I think what's important, you've used the word confident a number of times, and having the confidence to run a profitable business, this is what it takes. Confidence in your pricing, because you're going to run into situations where, you know, people say, hey, you know, if you can knock off X, and they're not just jerking you around, and you really have to match a price, let's say, you need to know if you can or not. And if you can, great, because you know your numbers. If you're going to lose money, says, sorry, I'm going to be able to walk away. And that's the confidence to be able to walk away from bad jobs, because we've all had those and they suck, where you knew that I got a bad feeling about this client. I should be walking away. And it's just something like, you know, the bug in the light that just, you just can't look away and walk. But having the confidence in your numbers and building that out is just, it's everything. I mean, it's what business is about. This is what we're going to teach. And over the weeks, I think it's going to be freaking awesome, because, well, one, nobody's doing it. You know, we're not only going to show you what you should be doing, and this is not pie in the sky stuff. This is really the nuts and bolts, the boring blocking and tackling, but it may be boring, But hey, profit is exciting to me, man. That's what I like, okay, is to be a profitable business, because that's what's going to allow you to have the free time to build a business that does not rely on you, that has value. That's something that's saleable. If it relies on you, you can't ever leave. It's not worth anything. Because, and this is why we talk about the 2-week vacation. We've got a whole deal on that, which is, are you able to take a 2-week vacation at the last minute? If you can't, you've got a problem. You're not running a business. You've got a job, because you have to have the systems, processes set up. And as you grow, you're filling in those pieces like a chess game, those solid employees that you're, which is why you're always recruiting, you're always training, and you're always retaining your people, because this is what's going to get you out of that day to day. That's what's going to build in value to your business. So these are the things that we're going to talk about, and we're going to show you how to implement them. We're going to give you the tools. This is what you do. Go do this. And I guarantee you, your money back. these free podcasts. This is how to do it, and we can help you do it. So, John, I think what do we want to add to that? I mean, I think we covered it. Hopefully, this is under an hour.
Well, I got one story to let us leave on, and it's a couple hours ago. I went to one of my son's last soccer game. And so he's 4, he's about to be 5, he's super young. So if you've ever been to any of those games of any kind, everybody's just running around with their head chopped off. No one's winning, no one's losing. It's not fun. They're you know, kids are crying, all kinds of stuff. Well, he struggled the whole year. This is the last soccer game of the season. And he mustered up the strength. He took advice from me and the coach.
That's rare.
And he exactly, it's rare. He did what we said, and he scored a goal.
Wow.
And so his demeanor changed from, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not having fun here, to immediate. I took a bunch of video and sent them to my wife. Crazy difference in behavior, because even kids like to win. But we don't want to be in business running around with our head chopped off. We want to be taking advice from coaches and actually implementing them. That's how you'll win. That's how you like to win. Every Friday you're getting paid. I've been there. I haven't won. And it's really not fun to lose like that. Mm-hmm. To not pay yourself for months and months and months, having to rely on other sources of income just to live. It's not a fun thing to do. You want to win. And the way you do that is by taking advice from a coach and implementing that in your life and in your business. Thought that was a pretty good analogy.
I love that story. Now, my kids are a little older, so I can use the kids. You guys are like pancakes. You always screw the first one or two up. I'm concentrating on your little brother. that's what we got for you. So, John, hey, awesome stuff, man. I am really excited about doing this. We are going to have a kick-ass show, number 300. 300 shows, 300 weeks in a row to show that consistency. So next week, be sure to tune in and get the full picture of what the Roofer Coach is going to be all about. And you got the old guy and the young guy. It's a great combination, I think. And we always have to stay in balance, right?
That's right.
So, John, thanks so much, man. I'm really looking forward to this. And partnering up with you has been awesome. I got somebody that's I can shovel off some stuff to that's raring to go.
That's right.
All right, man. Well, we'll see you next week.